but he was less sure about Tarsus, and said he wanted to do his own due diligence. But he, too, soon reported that she had received glowing recommendations. Eisner authorized Ovitz to make an approach, and he urged Bob Iger to set up a clandestine meeting. Almost as soon as Iger and Tarsus started talking, Tarsus said she'd already met with Ovitz. "Really?" Iger responded, trying to disguise his surprise. Ovitz hadn't said anything about meeting with Tarsus. Iger thought he was in charge of hiring a new programming executive, but Tarsus was acting as though she and Ovitz practically had a deal. Afterward, Iger asked Ovitz why he hadn't told him about the meeting. "We just had a drink," Ovitz said. "It was just a social thing." The courtship continued, with the main sticking point that Tarsus didn't want to report to Iger, but directly to Ovitz and Eisner. But Ovitz was impressed at Iger's ability to overcome her objections in a series of meetings in which he stressed his willingness to delegate the authority she needed and his eagerness for Disney and ABC to have a successful woman executive. Finally, when Tarsus spoke with Eisner, he was at his most charming and persuasive. She was so stimulated by the meeting she had with Eisner and the idea of coming to ABC and being able to be a woman in that high a position and have the control of that development budget that she wanted to leave under any condition, Ovitz later testified. He added that there wasn't much further discussion of the Ohlmeyer situation, just that Tarsus kept assuring them that she'd have no trouble getting out of her contract at NBC, a point reiterated by her lawyer and Robert Morton. Tarsus maintains that Ovitz told her to use the sexual harassment charge to get out of her contract. Ovitz denied this in his testimony. In Hollywood, recruiting an executive under contract at a rival company was routine. There was even a name for it: stacking a deal. That's the way it is in the business. I'm not saying it's proper or appropriate, that's just the way it works, Ovitz said. Still, recruiting Tarsus raised the question of whether Disney was trying to induce her to breach a contract with the added twist of using the threat of sexual harassment. No one seems to have considered that Tarsus' threat to sue unless NBC released her from her contract might look like thinly disguised blackmail. In any event, Disney offered Tarsus the job of head of programming, which would make her the first woman to head a network programming operation. In February, when she conveyed the news to NBC and began negotiating to get out of her contract there, Warren Littlefield called Ted Harbert at home on President's Day weekend. "I hear they've offered Jamie your job," he told Harbert. Harbert expressed shock and disbelief. "Well, you ought to look into this," Littlefield urged. Harbert called Iger, who was out, and then reached David Weston, then president of ABC News. Weston said he'd heard something about it, but wasn't involved. Later that evening, Iger returned Harbert's call. Harbert was furious. Iger had to admit that Tarsus was coming, but said Disney lawyers wouldn't let him say anything to Harbert. Iger felt terrible. Harbert had helped teach him the business and had loyally stood by him over the years. Now Iger felt he'd been disloyal. He told Harbert he didn't want him to quit, and tried to assuage him by offering him the position of chairman of ABC, with Tarsus reporting to him. ABC needed to keep Harbert, at least for the next few months. But offering his title to Tarsus had breached his contract, which had more than 2 years to run. So Iger agreed that Harbert could leave